Peter Goldmark. Mr. Goldmark is currently Director of the Climate and Air Program for the Environmental Defense Fund. He previously was the Chairman and CEO of the International Herald Tribune, and he's well known here in New York for his exceptional careers in the public and private sectors, including serving as the Executive Director of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, and as President of the Rockefeller Foundation. In the annals of public finance, however, he's probably best remembered and still best identified with his service as the state's budget director under Governor Hugh Carey, beginning in that fateful year of 1975. Mr. Goldmark.
Yes, Governor, I am comfortable with the word piracy. Somebody out here must know the detective novels of Agatha Christie. Well, there's one called A Murder is Announced. And if I were giving a title to this drama, I'd call it Piracy is Proposed. I nearly fell off my chair when I read the actual text of the thing after the governor called me. This amendment would pillage the New York budget process. It emasculates one of the strongest and soundest budget systems in the U.S. Students of public administration, I see Lou Winnick sitting in the back, a great student of public administration, will tell you there are two great inventions in public organization in the past 150 years. The first one is the invention of the general staff by the Germans, which revolutionized the way the military is governed and run. And the second is the executive budget system, first pioneered and adopted in New York State, then subsequently adopted by the federal government. Now, this question has been portrayed in part as a tussle between the governor and the legislature. It is far broader than that. At issue here is not only a discussion between Republicans and Democrats, and it is not even narrowly about the executive branch versus the legislative branch. The executive budget system was developed to provide a more disciplined, sounder way of making budgets, and it imposes significant and useful disciplines on both the executive and the legislature. Do not imagine for one moment that the executive budget is some secret nasty tool with which governors are expected to chastise the legislature. It is a sensible, orderly budget process that imposes limits on both branches and that contains structural features designed to force both of them to shape a budget together. What the amendment, Proposition 1, says is, well, at a certain point in the annual budget cycle, the executive budget process just expires, and the legislature and the governor can then begin a second dance without the constraints and the safeguards of the executive budget. Now, you have here today the man who was governor during the most difficult chapter of New York financial history in recent times, probably the most challenging episode in the recent financial history of all state and local government in this country. I served as his budget director. I know how great the pressure was. I also know how close it was a couple of times. It was a hell of a ride. But we are here to tell you that without the executive budget system at the state level, New York State and New York City would not have survived that fiscal crisis without bankruptcy and possibly chaos. And here is why. In the American system, the states created the federal government and the states regulate and oversee local government. The states are the source and the bedrock of the federal system. When New York City's huge deficits were uncovered and the financial markets to which the city had become hopelessly addicted for short-term loans closed, both the city and the state rode on the financial strength of the state. Despite the excesses left by the Rockefeller years, Governor Carey was able to submit and drive through the legislature successive, balanced, soundly structured budgets. On this strength was based the creation and financing of Big Mac. On this strength was based the funding out of the tottering state authorities. On this strength was based the difficult state financings of its own spring borrowing needs. And on this strength at the state level, because remember, at that time, the state was essentially managing the city's finances. On this strength was based the confidence of the country's financial markets in the entire rescue and stabilization process and the willingness of the federal government at the 11th hour to make available an important medium-term financial facility. Without the structure and the disciplines of the executive budget system, we in the executive branch could not have succeeded in the extraordinarily difficult steps that were required to prepare, submit, and administer balanced state budgets, and the legislature would not have been constrained to translate their priorities and purposes into those budgets within the larger framework of a balanced and orderly system. And without a balanced framework, without an orderly system with the demonstrable ability and visible discipline to manage itself, the answer from the markets would have been no. The answer from the federal government would have been no. And there would have been no rescue of New York City. Now, we sailed the SS ship, the ship SS New York State, through a gale as severe as any local and state government have known. This man, Hugh Carey, was the captain of that ship. And for that, he will forever hold a special, perhaps unmatched place in our history. Designed into that ship, in its timbers, in its riggings, deep into the quality of its workmanship, was the executive budget system. And for that, we have Al Smith and Franklin Roosevelt to thank. And there were moments, some of the stormiest moments during those dark nights, when those of us working with the governor and he had the sense that they were sailing with us through that storm. We saw the executive budget system tested and strained under barely imaginable pressure. And we learned once and again how strong and resilient and wise a system it is. The amendment on the ballot this fall is profoundly irresponsible. It is destructive, and it flies not only in the face of common sense, but in the face of our own history. I'm going to give you a very strong comparison to really focus your minds. It is as if on the federal level, the Congress proposed a constitutional amendment which said, listen, we will continue to have a Bill of Rights, but we're going to tell you each year through annual legislation what those particular rights mean for the coming year. How would you like that? It is just about that raw, that reckless, and it would be that regretted. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Goldmark, and thank you to all of the distinguished speakers on the first part of our program.